Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you will enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today I have in the studio a couple of individuals from a very interesting organization called the Shasta County Fire Safe Council. And I think it's very important because of wildfires and the threat of wildfires and any type of fire can be so devastating. I think it's important for us to know as Shasta County and areas surrounding Shasta County, what is this Fire Safe Council? So I have with us Executive Director Ron Rustin and the Project Coordinator Doug Young. Welcome to the program.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool you're here.
Yeah.
So let's start off, Ron, as Executive Director, what is the Shasta County Fire Safe Council?
Well, the Shasta County Fire Safe Council has a mission of protecting and educating the residents of Shasta County from the effects of catastrophic fire. And we've seen a lot of catastrophic fires here in Shasta County. And
unfortunately.
And we're an organization that's really wanting to help educate the public and look for grant-funded opportunities to do a lot of fuels mitigation work to really just make our communities more fire resilient.
Yes. Unfortunately, all the fires that have happened, specifically in California, but even across the United States, they've been very intense, very destructive, including destruction of lives as well as property. So I'm grateful that we have this council. And how did the council, how long has it been in existence?
Okay, the council's been in existence as its own autonomous organization for about 4 years. The idea came up from my understanding the council had been off and on in years past, but it never really came to anything. And in 2020, former county supervisor Mary Rickert got with our current chair, Jim Chapin, and had the idea, let's resurrect the Shasta County Fire Safe Council. We think there's a big need in the county to have that organization up and running. So the two of them collaborated on that and put a board together and just started bringing the Shasta County Fire Safe Council back as an organization.
Back to life.
Yep.
And you're a nonprofit organization,
We're
right?
We're a nonprofit.
Yes.
Yeah. I would like to add, too, you know, not only are we nonprofit, you know, we're focused on the citizens of Shasta County. So our mission really is for the citizens of Shasta County, not that we wouldn't collaborate with outside organizations, but our focus is primarily on the citizens of Shasta County.
Yeah, that's why you're called Shasta County Fire Safe Council, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So you have a board of directors.
Yes.
And you said Jim Chapin chairs that?
Yes, he's our current chair.
And how many people on your board?
Right now, we have 9 members on the board.
And always the purpose of this program, not only to inform and educate the community, but also invite the community to engage.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's someone out there that says, hey, fire safety is kind of the thing I would like to be involved in. So understanding how the organization is structured and works and what you're doing might get someone to actually say, I want to volunteer. I want to do this. I want to do that. So that's the outreach. That's the purpose of the program. And we serve Shasta and Tehama County. Tehama County may put together a fire council of their own. You know, it is a nonprofit organization that can happen anywhere across the United States. So certainly fires are happening all over the place, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And so the information can encourage another community, another county that maybe to structure something that's like that. I think I'm grateful that Mary Rickert and Jim Chapin put together their heads and said, let's make this happen and have it last.
Yes.
I think that's very important.
Yes.
So, Ron, when did you get connected to this organization?
I got connected in about mid to 2020, 2023, I was hired as the county coordinator for the FireWise communities. And that was a statewide effort on the part of the California Fire Safe Council with funding through CAL FIRE to fund a county coordinator in each county in California.
Ah, so FireWise is a state program?
FireWise is a national program through the National Fire Protection Agency. And it's a national program, but administered in California through CAL FIRE.
That makes sense. So how about for you, Doug? How did you get it connected to the organization?
Well, so I was actually originally, I have a background in wildland fire. And then I was called to this organization, but I was actually a lead of one of the FireWise communities up in the Shingletown area.
Ah.
And so we established that community, got it off the ground. We had some grant funding that assisted us in getting established. And now I believe we're one of the, if not the oldest, Shasta County FireWise community, Shasta Forest Village within Shasta County.
Okay. So FireWise is a national program, and there's an association with the Shasta County Fire Safe Council. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the Shasta County Fire Safe Council, through the County Coordinator Program, took on as part of their mission to be that support and kind of coordinating the FireWise efforts throughout the county.
Okay.
So we coordinate not only with the local FireWise communities, and we have 14 of them in Shasta County right now, but we also coordinate with the CAL FIRE liaisons, you know, to make sure that... or to help mentor them through their process, the paperwork process, and just support them in any way that we can. The FireWise community is completely volunteer, you know, neighborhood organizations coming together just to make their neighborhoods more fire resilient. And as the Fire Council, you know, part of our mission is just to help support them in any way that we can.
That makes sense. So with the FireWise, the 14 different communities here in Shasta County, do they get together? I mean, how's that structured? Do you have any idea? Do you want go ahead, Doug?
Yeah, so the communities, once they're established, they have a plan that they put together for their communities. And CAL FIRE is a big part of this process. They actually outline what risks there are within their communities, and these communities get together to address those risks. So there's certain things that have to be done. Some is just coordinating the community itself toward fire prevention and education. There's also on-the-ground projects, whether it's thinning or home hardening or, you know, hazard tree reduction, all of that kind of stuff, access and egress work. So these communities get together. They work together to address those issues. So there's a certain amount of meetings throughout the year that have to happen and a certain amount of production. And it's a once-a-year renewal process where you actually report this nationally, your accomplishments for the year.
Do they receive any funding from the national organization?
So they receive a certificate once yearly at their renewal time. And that's becoming even more important as we're in this age of, you know, rising homeowners insurance costs, a lot of people being dropped from their homeowners insurance. So under the Safer with Wildfires program, it was enacted in September of last year. There's actually a mandatory discount that comes to most, if not all, but most homeowner insurance companies have to provide a discount for FireWise and FireSafe communities. So that's an incentive right there for a community to come together, work together. Of course, the big payoff is, you know, you've just made, by working together, your entire community is safer from catastrophic wildfire.
Absolutely. That's important. But what I was curious about is if the national organization gave any money to like the 14 communities, or they just have to figure that out on their own.
Originally, they did have a small grant program to get the communities off the ground. That is not the case any longer. So
they
actually
launched.
Yeah. So actually us at the Fire Safe Council, and maybe Ron can address that, we're assisting these communities financially to sort of get established. that right now has only been approved for the existing 14 communities we have.
Uh-huh.
But again, we'd like to expand that program. The more communities we have in the county, the safer everybody's going to be.
Absolutely. And a couple of the 14 communities, what would, as an example, one of the four, couple of the 14 communities?
As far as established communities, so we have the Happy Valley. That's a very large community, and of course, they're affected by wildfire every year, it seems like.
Unfortunately.
We have Lakehead. The whole entire zip code of Lakehead, I believe, is a FireWise community.
Yes.
So we have down here in town, you know, the Tierra Oaks Run.
Yeah, Tierra Oaks.
Tierra Oaks.
Yeah, our communities really are spread out throughout Shasta County. We have one as far out as Day Bench, which is out by Fall River MacArthur.
I don't even know that.
Yeah, it's way out on the border of Shasta County on the east side of the county, through Shingletown, as Doug was saying, with Shasta Forest Village, Whispering Woods, which is right there in Shingletown, out through Inwood, Oak Run. Montgomery Creek right now is in the process of being approved as a FireWise community. So we've got a little bit of momentum, and we're just trying to keep that going.
I'm kind of curious, too. Is Redding one of those fire-safe communities? Or FireWise, rather?
There's communities within Redding. I've actually have been in contact with the fire prevention person for the Redding Fire Department, and we're going to start as the fire council being a part of their community meetings at the fire stations to talk about FireWise and to try to get interest within the city of Redding, the city limits of Redding, to establish some FireWise communities there. I've had the same conversations with the city council for the city of Shasta Lake, and so we're working with them to look at starting some outreach-type events to get some interest in FireWise communities within the city limits there as well.
I think it's all in our best interest to be able to be thinking about fire danger and things that we can do to prevent things from happening. Did you have a thought, Doug, you wanted to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to note, you know, so the FireWise communities themselves, they can be, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, but they can be as small as 8 homes,
mm-hmm.
But as large as up to 2,500 homes included in the boundaries of this, of the FireWise communities. That's the national standard.
Ah.
Cal Fire here in the state has determined that the smaller the communities, the easier it is to manage, but we're still being guided by those national parameters.
Yeah.
And another thing to note is that they generally, the process, you know, could take several months to get certified, and you work real closely with not only our organization but also Cal Fire, and possibly even like the Office of Emergency Services, just to get the ball rolling and assess the community, make sure that they have everything they need to be successful in the future.
That's fabulous. What a brilliant structure. I think that's wonderful. And then we also have the Shasta County Fire Safe Council, which has that relationship. I mean, you guys all after the same mission, you might say.
Right.
But you have these communities that are focused on their particular area.
Right.
That's fabulous. I like that. That's a brilliant idea.
One of the other things that we have implemented from the Fire Council is we've been able to bring together, as Doug was mentioning, kind of subject matter experts, and we started doing field trips for the different FireWise communities, whether they're established or any of those areas out there that are looking to become FireWise, where we bring in usually a Cal Fire battalion chief, you know, or a local, you know, fire chief for wherever that area is. We have somebody from the Department of Fish and Wildlife that comes along. Just any of those subject matter experts so we can kind of drive around their community, because a lot of people don't know what a fire hazard may or may not be in their community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we bring, kind of get this group together. We drive around with the potential FireWise leaders as well as those subject matter experts to look over that community and say, hey, these are your risks, these are your hazards, this is the kind of stuff we want to identify. And once it's identified and they get certified, then we are looking for grant funding to start helping them mitigate those hazards through different projects.
That's excellent. You know, I can recall a number of years ago that over in Trinity County, someone out in the middle of summer had gone to the local shooting range, and because their shooting actually started a fire. So helping people understand that shooting or running a lawnmower or even a bladed weed trimmer and you hit a rock, it can start a fire.
Yep.
So developing, helping people develop that awareness is really important when we, Redding and Shasta County gets very warm in the summer. So
it's
really important we be very mindful. If you've just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation today with two individuals from the Shasta County Fire Safe Council. We have Ron Rustin, who's the executive director, Doug Young, who's the project coordinator. So I'm going to ask you two, where'd you grow up? Ron, I'm going to start with you. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego, California, many years ago, and really just grew up there and always had an interest of living in a community outside of the city. Growing up in the city, just I didn't want to stay there.
Yeah.
So I started looking for different opportunities, you know, as far as employment that would allow me to live in a kind of a mountain area. And that took me through living in lots of different areas in California and finally settling here in Redding.
So after high school, did you go on to college or?
Yes, I actually went to Lassen College in Susanville.
Hey, there you go.
In the wildland fire science curriculum, and then had a career with the Forest Service in wildland fire.
Awesome. How did you get to Shasta County?
Well, I was working on the Cleveland National Forest, which is down out of Southern California. It goes from San Diego up into the L.A. Basin. And I started there and applied for a job up on the Lassen National Forest and was fortunate enough to get it.
Yeah.
And that brought me up to this area. I lived in Burney. I lived in as far away as Aden at one time. Never lived in down here in Redding, per se, but lived in the mountain areas for quite a while.
Shasta County.
Yep.
Yes. So how about for you, Doug?
Well, I guess I'm a native to Shasta County my entire life. So I grew up in Burney, and we moved to Millville at one time, and now we're in the Shingletown area. I also have a background in fire. I had a career in wildland fire with the Forest Service, and actually I still do work some summers with them in what's called the Intel Department. So that's a whole another unique subject, but. Yeah, so and I got called, I found out about this job with the Fire Safe Council put in, and it's a part-time position, primarily working with our chipping program, which is grant-funded, and that's what's going on right now.
So let's talk a little bit about the chipping program. What's that about?
Well, that's a grant. We're actually funded for originally 6 years worth of funding. To provide free chipping services to residents of Shasta County.
And when did that grant start?
I believe it started, Ron, was that last year, 2000?
Yeah, last year.
Yep, sorry. Yeah, so we got started at the end of last year.
End of 2024?
So, yep.
And, so 6 years, okay.
And, you know, again, it's a work in progress. We're learning what works, what doesn't. We're currently actually... providing chipping to the Shasta Lake, Lakehead, and Castella areas. The way the program works is we target different areas of the county throughout the entire year. Again, we take a break during the hot summer months where the fire danger is high.
Yes.
And so that we're hoping to keep with that rotating schedule for the next 4 to 5 years. The more folks are familiar with it, they can actually go to our website at ShastaFireSafe.org. They can go to the chipping registration, put in their address. They'll be put on a wait list Once an area is scheduled to be chipped, they will get a text and or a email to complete their registration and get on our schedule. So then we hire a contractor, and they coordinate with the residents to come by and actually chip.
Right now, the beginning of 2025, you're in the Lakehead, Castella, Shasta Lake area. How long do you is there a certain preset time you're there, or does can it vary?
Right. So we're doing it by month.
By month. And, so the month of March?
Right. So the month of March is that area. We're currently starting enrollment for Montgomery Creek, Big Bend, and Route Mountain, which is scheduled for April.
And how about beyond April? Has it been determined yet?
In May, we have Bella Vista, Oak Run, Palisadro, and Millville areas. In June, we have Shingletown, Whitmore, and Manton scheduled to be chipped. And enrollment is the prior month for all of these. So the enrollment needs to be done prior to the month so we know the volume of people that are going to be chipped, and we can pass that on to our contractors. We also have an October event where we target the east side of Shasta County, and that's going to be Burney, Fall River Mills, Castle, Hat Creek, Old Station. And enrollment for those areas will be in September.
So can people say, if using the month of June as the example, do they have to wait till May to enroll, or can they enroll ahead of time?
So they can get on our wait list at any time throughout the year, and they will receive an email or a text once we create their area event in our system. And then it will ask them, okay, are you ready for chipping? Are you still interested? Maybe they dealt with their material a different way. Maybe they're not ready to use the program. It gives them the option at that point to go ahead and enroll.
Yes. And so when you say chipping, how large and what are they chipping? How's this work? So you get registered, a person gets registered, and they say, I have stuff to chip. How do they participate in the program? Do you go out onto their property? Do they pilot one place, or how's that work?
So it's a two-way street. So the resident actually does the work or hires somebody to do the work. They place the material in an area that the chipper can reach easily. We have guidelines. We say two piles that are 4 feet high, 8 feet wide, and up to 10 feet long in material. Mm. It's basically 20 cubic yards worth of material. And then what happens is it needs to be less than 8 inches in diameter and no smaller than 1/2 inch. So all woody material. And we're not chipping things such as poison oak, blackberry, oleander, things that can be hazardous to the folks that are chipping.
Yeah. So small trees, branches, those sort of things.
Right. And those basically are a lot of your ladder fuels, you know, brush, large diameter brush, stuff that can get the fire from the ground up into the canopy. And, you know, once it gets up there, it really is difficult to control.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So if they have more than that material, say they maximize everything, can they sign up again, or can you do more than at that one site?
So what we're trying to do is service as many people as we possibly can. So we do have a limit on the amount of volume. We have in the past been able to work out some things where we can take a little bit more. But we want to service as many residents as we can. And it is primarily the grant is verbiage is for defensible space around structures.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so we're not really taking on large properties, but it is for defensible space around structures to make those structures more fire safe.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification, because I think that's important. So really the message going out to Shasta County, somewhere in the county over the next 6 years, but hopefully soon, your defensible space around your structures, you can have it chipped. That's a program, grant-funded program, that the Shasta County Fire Safe Council is facilitating.
Correct, and I would add that so our program actually disperses the chips back onto the property owner's property. And there's a lot of benefits to chips if people want to take their time to look at it. In certain cases, we can remove the chips, but our program is primarily funded for dispersing it back onto the property. So that is, for some folks, is a factor.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, having to haul the chips away would be a huge added expense, and involve more trucks and things like that. And, you know, chips help the soil. So it can be a real benefit.
Yeah, soil moisture. Obviously, you don't want those chips anywhere within 30 feet of your structures.
Yes.
But, you know, as far as soil moisture goes, weed abatement, chips are just a good mulch for fertilizer type work. And it really is much less of a fire hazard because the surface area of chips, and it just does not burn at any kind of a rate a lot of people have called in about the chips. It's like, well, they're going to, you know, it's going to burn too. Well, it doesn't burn at a rate that's fast. It's really not susceptible to the winds and the wind speeds as much as a fine fuel would be in the grass. And it really does actually suppress the fire behavior.
Certainly, if you think of chips spread on the ground, you know, you have a few inches off the ground versus if you have a bush or a tree, that's going to be a torch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
correct.
Big difference. Yep. So it's good that you're willing to talk to people and help them to understand that. It's really beneficial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's very imperative. And so that's the chipping program. Are there other programs that you have? You use the phrase home hardening. What does that mean? Ron?
Home hardening is just a process of having somebody look at the actual house, their home, their structure, and look at those different things that need to be more fire resilient around their home. So a lot of the stuff that comes out is, you know, you look at your gutters, you know, are your gutters cleaned out? Are they full of leaves and pine needles? You know, so putting gutter guards on the top to keep that material out of your gutters, that's home hardening there. The 0 to 5 around your home that's coming around the zone zero, that's part of home hardening. Flashing, so you don't have anything burnable on your structure 6 inches from the ground. And, you know, if your siding or whatever you have is higher than that, you're okay. But if it's not, then there's flashing that you put around that to keep your home from catching on fire.
Yeah. I've heard people talk about being very mindful where you pile your wood.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want, your wood pile up against your home, you know, right there is just an ignition source for the fire to get in and just catch your home on fire.
Yes. So this home hardening, do you go out to people and help them see that or what's wrong and what the ways they can reduce their vulnerability?
Right now we have one grant that through FEMA and the California Office of Emergency Services. It's kind of a combination between those two. We are a pilot county. There was three chosen in the state: Shasta County, Lake County, and San Diego County were the three that were chosen by FEMA. And so they really delegated or designated areas for this grant. So we don't have the latitude to go outside of what FEMA decided the boundary is going to be. So right now we have what we're calling a home hardening project in the Whitmore area. We're starting down into Oak Run a little bit, and then Lakehead will be the three places that are designated to do that. And as the program gets up and running, again, it's a pilot program through FEMA, so it's taken a lot of time and a lot of effort to just build the program because it came from nothing. It came from an idea to try to implement a program. And when you start looking at doing work on people's homes, there's a lot of...
A lot to it.
There's a lot to that, to put that together, not only from the construction side, but the regulation side as well. But it's a combination between the home hardening and doing defensible space, because why do home hardening if you're not going to do the defensible space? You know, it doesn't make sense. So right now they're looking at $40,000 per home to do that kind of work, whether it's replacing siding, you know, doing the gutter guards, whatever the home hardening needs are for that home, you know, within that budget, they're looking at doing that and the defensible space on these homes. So we're just starting to do that. And we're just starting to do some defensible space work on some of the homes. And this spring, they should be actually starting on some home hardening, some actual construction work on homes in the Whitmore area.
That's awesome. So you mentioned Whitmore, Oak Run, and Lakehead.
Yes.
Do you think it will get to expand to other places in Shasta County?
That's the goal. I mean, we would like to see that expand out through the entire county. Again, that'll be up to FEMA and the Office of Emergency Services to see if the pilot program, you know, what kind of results they're getting and if they think that's something that should be continued to be funded.
Let's hope, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. We would like it.
Yeah. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I want to take a moment and remind our listeners that we are an all-volunteer organization, a nonprofit, and we stay alive by your donations. So we invite you, if you enjoy our programming, make a donation. No donation is too small. We greatly appreciate it. You can go to our website at www.kkrn.org. Make a donation by credit card, or you can mail a check to KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. I am here in conversation with members of the Shasta County Fire Safe Council. We have the Executive Director, Ron Rustin, and we have the Project Coordinator, Doug Young. You know, I love these programs, and I really hope the home hardening would make a difference when we face wildfire to mitigate destruction of structures. So I'm hoping that that continues to expand across Shasta County through time. And so also you had talked about in a prep for this program, the Sierra Nevada capacity building.
We were able to receive a grant from the Sierra Nevada Conservancy for a capacity building and project pipeline grant. And it's a real unique opportunity for us. Is a real small nonprofit. It's hard for us to begin to start projects when we don't have staff or a capacity to get out and do and really lay out projects and just to get that work done out there, or even have the ability to hire a contractor to help us get started on some of this. So we had been trying to get grants for ideas as opposed to being able to build something and have a project ready to go and then apply for a grant. So this capacity building grant is going to give us the opportunity to do that, not only to build the capacity as an organization with our employees, but also to develop six landscape level fuel break projects.
Wow. Fuel break.
Yes.
Explain to people that may not know what a fuel break is, because it's kind of critical.
A fuel break is just an area that we, usually along a ridge line somewhere, that we're looking at removing a lot of the fuels out there. And it's not clear cutting by any means. It's what we call a shaded fuel break. You're taking out enough of the fuels to where it's probably not if, but when a fire comes through there, the intensity really lessens through there because we've removed a lot of the fuels and the ladder fuels to keep it out of the tree crowns and the heavier brush. So it's just protecting an area from a fire and also giving firefighters a place to make a stand.
Yeah, that's critical.
Yeah.
You know, defensible space, you might say, is a fuel break, a fire break, because it's a little different because you're clearing everything. It's not like you're taking all the trees out, you know, on the mountainside.
Yeah, we're trying to look at it as a, I guess, a holistic approach, you know, not only the big landscape level fuel break type projects, but also working from the home out with the FireWise, with the defensible space, and creating those fire-resistant communities out there. So when you combine that with a fuel break, when the fires do come through, it really gives everybody the opportunity not only to keep the fire out of their homes and to put them out quickly, but to keep, you know, lives safe.
Yes. It's really a strategy for how to stop a fire. Doug?
Oh, so I would just add, it really does start at the home, and it starts working out. You know, fuel breaks have been around for a long time. A lot of the other counties have many large fuel breaks that are there. They require maintenance over time. It really does. If you want to save your home, you really got to start right at ground zero and work out of these communities. And it's something that, you know, hasn't been coordinated very well in the past. And the FireWise communities are a big, big piece of that puzzle. You know, you get the community rallied around and you start working in your community, and then that just flows out. You've just not only have you stopped or given your community a better chance, you've also, if for some reason, you know, the neighbor's burn pile gets out or something like that, you have given the surrounding community a better chance, because now it's not going to expand from the inside out. Many of our fires are human caused.
Yes.
So when you start looking at roadsides inside these subdivisions or rural areas that, you know, with the population, a lot of our wildland fires are started right there, the human caused fires. There's not a lot we can do about the lightning. You know, we're not going to change the weather.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can change is working on our homes, working from that point out, and that comes right down to each and every residential property owner, even renter out there. And it's a year-round process. It's not just during the summer months or in the spring or in the fall. You know, maintenance needs to be year-round, because as we're finding out, fires are becoming year-round also.
Yes, I remember the campfire when it happened in Paradise. It was in November.
Mm-hmm.
And the big fires in Southern California in December and January. Who would have ever thought?
Yeah.
Doug, I'm going to ask you a question that kind of you've touched upon, but I want to be real direct with it. If you're a resident in, let's imagine, Redding, California, downtown, do you think it's important for you to think about fire safety and the things, like home hardening and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the studies that I saw from the car fire itself talked about home-to-home transfer, heat transfer. And what happened was, you know, whether it was the wooden fence that was touching the house or just the enormous amount of heat from a structure burning, that radiant heat starting the next home on fire. So there really is a connection to homes and the density of homes and the density of the population. And that needs to be addressed. I mean, if you think you're outside of the woods, you know, it doesn't mean you're really outside of the fire danger.
Yes, if you think of Pacific Palisades in Southern California, that's not wildlands. that's all multiple metropolitan areas, right, that were impacted. So,
and the real kicker too is, and a lot of people say, well, you know, the fire department, you know, especially in the initial stages of a fire, there is not a fire engine or personnel to address your specific home. They're trying to address a large area all at once. It's not, they may not have that capacity to be there when the fire meets your particular home. So if you want to give it the best chance, you got to start working on it now.
Yes, I think, why not? Because if you wait till summer, then it's a massive project. And like we said, a fire can start any time. But if you work on it throughout the year, then it becomes very doable, I would think.
Right,
I think it's
right.
Important. Let me ask you this too, both of you. I'll start with Doug. Thinking about volunteers, any organization, nonprofit, usually needs volunteers. Do you need volunteers?
Well, really, the volunteers right now, we're not at the capacity where we have projects that are sponsored. Some of the FireWise communities are doing that, where they, you know, rally around, whether it's the elderly or financially disadvantaged folks, and they're getting together as a community and helping those folks out. So I guess the FireWise community is the primary volunteer opportunity at this time.
Yes. And as a nonprofit organization, do you have a staff grant writer?
We have somebody on that we contract with who's writing a grant.
Good.
Back. The other volunteer opportunity, though, just to tag on to that we have, would be as part of our board. our board of directors, and they went to our website at ShastaFireSafe.org. There is our board volunteer link, and there, if people are out there are interested, the board would be an opportunity to volunteer and be a part of what we're doing.
Yes. And, you know, I think it has such a significant effect or impact potential to keep and build fire safety into Shasta County residents. You know, we don't really want more fires. We've been impacted sufficiently for a lifetime, I think.
And it's important for all of us to be involved with that.
I think so. It's part of the reason I invited you in, because I had a conversation with Mary Rickard a number of years ago, and she was talking about the Fire Safety Council. And so I was in another conversation with Jess Lugo, the city manager from Shasta Lake, and she goes, "Hey, have you thought about?" And I, so good connections, good conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we can make a huge difference when people come together and share and have a vision for creating safety within a community.
Yes.
Also, is there anything else about the FireWise community that people need to know? I think it's maybe they're in an area and they want to find out who the FireWise group is. How do they find that out?
Again, they could get a hold of us and or just look at our website. We'd have all that information down there. And, you know, there might be one close that they could be involved with, or they might be outside of a boundary where they would look at maybe starting their own FireWise community.
There you go. That would be good.
I would add on that, you know, what we've found, at least in our experience, is that folks see the paperwork end of it and they go, "Oh, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the, you know, I can't dedicate this much to it." And really, you know, if you have two or three people in your community that are willing to take it on and share some of the duties, the initial certification is a little bit of a task and a little bit of time. But after that, it's really not that time consuming, and you really make of it what you want. And that's what I would like to add.
So to think of it as the initial paperwork is the challenge, but once you get beyond that, you can kind of structure and do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, that's a good encouragement, I think. And I think it's good for people to look around to their neighbor and say, "Hey, there isn't one here. Let's create one." Ron?
Yeah, and we also at the Fire Council work with our CAL FIRE liaison and really mentor people through that. We've set up a process to where we're having people do all of that paperwork we help them with, and that's part of the field trip to get out there and say, "Let's help you with your risk assessment. Let's help you with that paperwork as we're out there." And then when they get it ready, instead of submitting it and have it be rejected, myself and Doug and our CAL FIRE liaison, I'll look at that paperwork. And if there's any edits that we think people should make and any changes that they should put in there, we help them. In fact, I've done it for them at times, and we get it in the portal and then say, "Okay, go ahead and submit." And we've had real good success having those approved. You know, what's disheartening for people is when they go through all of that work and it gets rejected.
Yeah. Because
so we're trying to avoid that by helping mentoring people through that process.
Yes. And, you know, it's wonderful. And my hope is, you know, this signal can go worldwide. And so my hope is that it's even touching people beyond Shasta County. Of course, our focus is educating Shasta County, but any place in the world, because fires become an issue with our climate change issues. And so to encourage them to figure out what can I do with a national organization like FireWise? Mm-hmm. What can I do with the local organizations to get involved? Doug?
Right. Yeah, I'd like to add, you know, and you're 100% spot on, because Siskiyou County has its own Fire Safe Council. I believe Tehama County also has theirs. So those folks that are hearing this broadcast, you know, they can reach out to their own county Fire Safe Council and see what they have to offer. Mm-hmm. Because it's been a push statewide to help these communities.
Yes. And just like you said, for the FireWise, maybe the Fire Safety Council isn't in your county, but you can get people together and create it. I mean, that's what happened, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
People that thought this is a great idea and we need to do this so that we can improve the safety.
Yes.
Fighting the wildfires in advance of them actually happening.
Right.
It's a very good thing.
Absolutely.
If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. Today, we are in conversation with two individuals from the Shasta County Fire Safe Council. We have the executive director, Ron Rustin, and the project coordinator, Doug Young, here in conversation, talking about FireWise and talking about the council. Lots of great information. So I'm curious, too, Ron, about projects that are going on that we haven't talked about.
Right. We have our Bullscan fuel break, which is just like the other fuel breaks I was mentioning before that we're hoping to plan and get done in the future. It's a shaded fuel break.
What does shaded fuel break mean?
Again, it's a fuel break that's reducing the amount of fuel there to bring the intensity of the fire down when it comes through that area. But it's not taking out the larger trees. It's not taking out all the canopy. It's not a clear cut.
Yes.
It's leaving enough vegetation out there.
You're getting rid of a lot of the brush.
It's great getting rid of the brush.
Fuel.
The smaller trees and opening it up so a fire intensity would reduce.
Yes.
And that project's been very successful. It's one of our first, it is our first fuel break as a council that we've done. Unfortunately, they've had to put it on pause because of weather. They can't get their equipment out there right now. It's just too wet and muddy out there, and we don't want to tear up the landscape out there. They've got about maybe 70 acres left to do. And that'll be our first completed fuel break out there.
Is that a grant-funded project?
It's a grant-funded project through Sierra Nevada Conservancy.
Yeah, that's excellent. I love those kind of things. It always helps when you have grant funds for things.
Yes.
And future, do you think you'll be looking for more grants?
We're applying for the Community Wildfire Defense Grant. It's through the Department of Agriculture, so a federal grant. And that'll be a great opportunity for us if we receive those funds that we're applying for to really bolster our FireWise community outreach and ability to support the FireWise communities and to really just expand the number of FireWise communities within the county. We're looking at doing that. It will also... within that grant, we're also applying for defensible space work to where we could go in and do defensible space work around people's homes. And we're looking to helping mostly economically disadvantaged people, people who can't afford it, elderly, disabled, and those types of things. And we're also looking at doing home assessments where we can go in, educate people, and actually help them develop a home defensible space mitigation plan. And once we have that plan, then we can bring contractors in to go ahead and do that work for them.
I think it's important. And sometimes what people don't realize, you can apply for a grant and there's a protocol to apply for a grant. And that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get the funding.
Exactly.
So then you have to go someplace else and look for another grant.
Right.
So, but the grants really bring out outside financial support to complete work if you can
Yes.
secure those. I also, as a nonprofit organization, Ron, can people donate to your council?
Yep, absolutely. They can go to our website and there's a donate button there, and we would really appreciate any donations that people would like to give to the council. Like you said, no donation would be too small.
Yeah.
Anything helps. And again, with our mission to just try to make Shasta County more fire resilient through not only work on the ground, but educating people and just supporting them in any way we can.
That's powerful.
One thing I would add to that, too, is, you know, a lot of folks, and me included in my past, have looked at these grant organizations as well. They're just, you know, they're spending quite a bit of money and not getting much done. Well, that's definitely not the case with our organization and many of the other ones that I've seen in the area. But we want to get as much done on the ground and in people's backyards as we possibly can. Minimize the overhead and get the work done on the ground. And that really has been something that struck me since I've started. That I mean, that's the focus right now. Let's get the money out to the people that need it.
Yes. And oftentimes what people don't realize, when you have a grant, that grant determines what you do with the funds.
Yes.
So just because you have a grant doesn't mean you're going to do X when it's funded for Y.
Right.
So you can only do Y if that's what the funding's for.
Absolutely.
So it's very easy to be critical and say, why aren't they over here doing this? Well, they don't have the funding for that. That's why.
Right.
I'm also wondering, Doug, thinking about resources, when we think about that revolves around wildfire and fires.
Right. Yeah. So there's a couple of different resources that are really starting to come into play as far as homeowners insurance goes. One is the IBHS, and it's Institute of Business. It's tied to the insurance industry. I couldn't give you exact, but it's called the Wildfire Prepared Home Program. And what that is a certification that folks can get that can potentially reduce your homeowner's insurance. It actually comes with a fee, but once you get certified, there's a two-year renewal on it. And there's two different levels. There's a basic level and a plus level. Both of those, if you search Wildfire Prepared Home on the internet, you can look at those levels, and you can look at the different guidelines to each one of those, both the plus and the basic level, and see which ones you'd like to achieve. Maybe the one you're closer to is the basic level, but it's a means not only to lower your homeowner's insurance and potentially keep your homeowner's insurance,
yeah,
but also start working toward the plus level and more home hardening. And there is more home hardening in the plus level side of it, but a lot of the basic defensible space, whether it's clearance or whatnot, that's all a part of the basic level. So. And that's all a part of the basic level certification. The other thing that I'd like to talk about a little bit is the CAL FIRE inspection process. There's a lot of folks that look at that inspection processes. They're coming onto my property and telling me what I need to do. This is it's primarily for education. Here's what needs to get done to make your house better, more defensible for wildland fire. And, CAL FIRE, they've done a great job trying to not only educate, but also, get some projects rolling. We've got a lot of projects conducted by CAL FIRE. That inspection process is a key. So if they show up at your door, don't worry about it. Work with them and treat them with respect. They're here to help us. And
what's a good perspective, that they're there to help. With the inspection. They're there to say, hey, maybe think about doing this. And
right.
It's a positive thing, not a negative thing to have them show up.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And actually, it should be welcome. But, everybody has their different perspective on that, I guess you'd say. But
yes.
I think it's a great program. I know a lot of the people that have worked in it. Yeah, they're people just like us. They live here in the county, and they're just looking to help their communities.
And they're experts at what they do. They know what is fuel for fires.
Absolutely.
And if you reduce the fuel or eliminate the fuel or move the fuel, might be all those things, then it's you're more fire safe.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to realize that. So there's a couple of resources that I think are really good, especially if you can get that certification and reduce your homeowner's insurance. I think everybody's interested
right.
in that. I know I live along the river, and people were saying as they lived along the river, their homeowner's insurance was being taken away completely, even though they live 50 feet from the river.
Yep.
Because those insurance companies were leaving
yep.
the area. And so it doesn't make sense sometimes of what goes on.
No. I really think after the whole fires in L.A. here, you're going to really see a focus on these FireWise communities and homes, by the insurance industry to really scrutinize homes. I think that's, we can't ignore that's going to happen because there's a huge financial burden on a large wildfire like that on the insurance industry. And I just encourage folks to do their work.
Yes, absolutely. So, Ron, what's the website for the Shasta County Fire Safety Council?
It's ShastaFireSafe.org, and I would encourage people to go there, and they could find links to all of the stuff we're doing, from projects to sign up for chipping to
donating.
Volunteer on the board to donate and anything. And if you got any questions or would like to do anything, our phone number is 530-360-0120.
I'm going to have you give us that phone number a second time. It's 530-360-0120. Yes. And I really want to encourage our listeners. Yes, we've learned a lot from the Shasta County Fire Safe Council, but you can also get involved making a donation. No donation is too small. Sharing yep. the information with your neighbors, having conversations with your neighbors. That's is there right. a FireWise group here? If not, why don't we start one? So lots of ways that we can work for fire prevention.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have wildfire issues right in our communities? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's imperative for people to realize we can make a difference.
Yes.
Yes.
We can definitely make a difference if we're working together.
Yes. And I'm going to ask each of you just in about a 30-second comment each. Why are you working with the Shasta County Fire Safe Council, Ron?
Well, I've, again, having a career in wildland fire and just seeing what's happened there. In Forest Service, they have a mandatory retirement age. And I felt that I still had something to offer. And when this opportunity came up to continue using the knowledge and experience I gained through that and really help the community here, I thought it would be
You jumped at it.
Just a good opportunity to do that. And actually got started. Doug here is the one who sent me a resume for it, or an application. And it was
That's almost cool.
A joke to put in for you. We just kind of were laughing. But it's actually turned into something, I think, very beneficial.
Excellent. How about you, Doug?
Well, I also have a career in wildland fire. And
yeah.
I saw the destruction to communities firsthand. I think a lot of it could be prevented, and if I can do just one small part to help that, I'll be happy. It's satisfying to help.
Yes. So much better, I think, to work for prevention, so perhaps the fires never occur, or prevention that when they do occur, they're not as destructive.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
I want to thank Ron Rustin, who's the executive director, Doug Young, who's the project coordinator, both from the Shasta County Fire Safe Council. I want to thank you both for being here. I want to remind us, each of us, we could make a difference.
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So as we close this program, make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.